Send a movie idea.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at the Dream Factory are simple. We can discuss as many of your film ideas, as many of our film ideas, as many film ideas that maybe I saw on Twitter and changed one word of, as we like. But only one will get through to the next stage, where it'll eventually inevitably run into legal trouble because of the aforementioned theft. And we'll have to just conveniently drop it into the North Sea right before our trial starts. I'm Joel, a man who puts the lean in Colleen, and across from me is John Harris, a man who is currently sat in front of a beautifully framed collection of the court drawings of Wayne Rooney. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. We're back. Yeah.
We're back.
I promised so many times and I didn't know whether we'd genuinely come back, but I...
How long would you have released old episodes for? And what will you do in the event of my death?
In the event of your death, I would...
Would you release a little bit of audio if I died?
Oh, that's a good question.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory. You do the intro and announce my death.
No, I don't
the
know
the man who puts the rave in grave. It's Joel.
<It's> just
He's
silence.
Dead.
Also, I put out old episodes that had guests. Look, I can't promise we'd be able to do guests every week, but if you enjoyed the episodes with guests, let us know and we'll see if we can get some.
Yeah, let us know.
Some episodes with third people on. We know,
we'll
still know
big A-listers.
One or two people in the biz, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think we know three.
I think we've been shunned from most corners of the biz, but there's a couple corners left.
There's a couple nooks, there's a couple crannies that still welcome the Dream Factory with open arms.
I wanted to talk to you about this case, but the Colleen, the what's it called? Wagga for Christie.
Wagga for Christie, yeah.
You wish, the person who came out with that wishes they copyrighted it because it's everywhere.
So good. It's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. The BBC's podcast is called that.
Yeah, which seems... I thought...
I don't know if you can trademark something that is essentially the name Agatha Christie.
With a W. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
All right, I take it back. But yeah, let's chat after the...
Murder on the Leighton Orient Express. There's another football Christie pun for you.
He used to live in Leighton, right?
Yeah, I did. I still live very close to Leighton.
Any good at football?
Forever in my heart. Pardon?
Any good at football?
Me?
Leighton.
Me, I'm pretty good. Leighton Orient, you know, they're a professional outfit. They got some players.
Oh, dear. Well, we're not here to talk about how good certain teams are at football. You
no,
like
I could see the fear in your eye. I could really see the fear in your eyes as you ask the question about Leighton Orient. you look like, you know when you have those moments where your brain thinks, what am I saying? Why am I asking this question? That was really what happened behind. The whites of your eyes were visible then, John. But
I'm
thank you very much for entertaining me and some football chat.
Mm. No worries at all. Let's never do it again.
Thank God. Right, should we have some film ideas?
Yes, please.
How about this one from Alex? Grant and Phil Mitchell versus Florence and the Machines.
So I warned you maybe a couple episodes ago in real time, not the old episodes. Oh, God, I feel like we're in the multiverse. Don't put two ideas in a film thing. I get stressed. So we've got...
Yeah.
We've got Grant and Phil Mitchell, EastEnders legends, hard men.
Big time.
So,
big time. Yeah,
so
they're hard
biggest
men.
Hard men, I'd say.
They're the hardest of men, yeah.
They are... Yeah.
Did you feel... So you shaved your head.
Yeah.
What percentage harder did you feel once you'd removed the hair from your head?
No, not at all. I felt...
Really?
I felt weaker.
Did you?
Yeah, no. I think I have more of a threatening aura. And so now I have to like almost like overcompensate, I'd say, by being
Do you say you speak more softly when you order a coffee and stuff?
Yeah.
Pretend I'm a barista and you're ordering a coffee from me now with your do it first as you used to do it with a full head of hair, and now you're bald, and we'll see the differences.
Well, one thing is, since shaving my head, I've gone decaf, which I think does...
That helps. That definitely helps. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd be like, before, I'd be like... No, I'm always terrible. Like, I'm always the person who's like, do you by any chance do coffee? Like, in a cafe. Do you know what I mean? Like,
in Starbucks.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Obviously, we fucking do coffee.
When... So Starbucks write your name on the cup. Yeah. They never, ever, 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 ever write Joel. They always write John. And every time they do it, John, I think about you. You're the most prominent John in my life.
I always think
about John Harris. Yeah.
I think
awful things.
Oh, you throw your cup
really vicious, vicious personal stuff. Yeah, yeah. I won't drink it. Or if I throw it back in the barista's face and say, try again.
How do they spell it? With an H or no H, generally?
Always with a H.
Interesting. Have we got a film idea? Oh, yeah. Right. So, the Mitchells versus...
Yeah, we're talking about the Mitchell brothers.
The Phil and Grant Mitchell versus the Machine. Soap's two hardest men, I'd say.
Is this a pun? Is there a film with a title like this?
Yeah, the Mitchells versus the Machines. It's a very good anime film that came out last year.
I had no idea that thing existed. I thought Alex had just thrown a load of words at us, which I like, because it's worth saying to listeners, the film ideas don't have to be a play on a film that already exists. You could just send us a film idea.
Not at all. I mean,
you could send us a one pager off spec, you know, film idea. We're very open to that. You know, the puns and the twists on existing films are brilliant, and the portmanteaus. I love a portmanteau. But if you've just got a completely original idea,
fling it our way.
I'm into it.
I mean, I think we will have a completely original idea later in this episode from a certain almost legendary member of the Dream Factory submission community, which I have not.
What a boring name for our fans.
I call them dreamers. I've decided on the last...
Oh, yeah, dreamers.
That's on the good. Last few intros, I've called them dreamers. And I said, if you're listening, you have to submit an idea. That's a new rule. So if you're listening right now and haven't submitted an idea, get off.
What's the punishment?
We'll make really bad episodes going forward.
Yeah. So if you think the episode's bad, it's your fault. Yeah. Right, so Mitchell versus the Machines. Grant and Phil Mitchell have to take on... Florence has got an army of machines that she controls with her voice. The higher she... pitches up, the faster they run at the enemy. I don't know. That's how it works.
I like
she controls an army of machines with her voice, and the only people that can take down this machine are the Mitchell brothers, because they ran the Archers in EastEnders, which is a garage, so they know how to use tools. They know how to take apart a machine.
Yes. And
they're tooled up. They both arrive with their tool belts onto some sort of big battlefield, and they just take those machines down one by one.
I like it. And also, like, Florence is singing, not only is it commanding an army, it's sort of in some way disarming people. Like, the tones are so high that it's sort of hurting people, so they can't fight back. But the Mitchells are just so hard, they're like cauliflower ears.
They've got cauliflower ears.
Yeah.
So they can't hear it. Absolutely ideal.
Perfect.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect. Hey, John, give me an idea.
What about this one from Yam Yam? That's a Twitter name, not a real name. Well, it could be... actually, apologies. I take it back. It could be a real name. I don't want to start offending our listeners. Apologies, Yam Yam. Thor, Ragnarok around the clock tonight.
Thor, Ragnarok around the... Big musical Thor?
Big musical Thor. Do you think Hemsworth can sing? He's sort of annoyingly handsome, great at every... Good actor, handsome, ripped, funny.
Yeah, he's so funny, sing. Yeah. He's got the hair. Sensational hair.
Outrageous hair.
He can almost definitely sing. He'll be able to do that move. You know how some actors are just trained so that they can sing to a level? I feel like he could hold his own.
Yeah.
He could definitely do like the rock opera ballad style singing.
He's got the hair for it. Although actually it's probably mostly a wig, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, no, I can see Taika. The thing is, Rock Around the Clock tonight is the sick. That's like first wave. No one's ever described it as first. Like the original sort of rock, commercial rock and roll, right? That's like...
Yeah, it's Bill Haley and the Comets.
Often cited as one of the first sort of rock and roll songs.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm sure... If you actually look at history, there were lots of other people doing it before. They just happened to not be white, so they've been forgotten by history books. But Thor is very much in the 80s, isn't he? He's not like a 60s little, like, you know, Teddy Boy, is that what they are? Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only issue. I think there's going to be a clash here.
I don't think so. So it's Bill Haley and the Comets, which implies some sort of intergalactic goings-on.
Good point. Maybe they're the villain.
They're the villain. They're rocking around the clock. It's time travel. It's intergalactic time travel.
Yeah, I can
see that.
He has
to go back to the 60s. And it turns out that, you know, them being in a band was just a front for evil deeds.
And Thor would probably be all right in the 60s, because there's enough hippies around that his look would sort of go unnoticed.
And you've got that brilliant fish out of water stuff that you had in the first Thor film where he's trying to adjust to life in the 60s.
Amazing. I like it.
He's only just got used to, you know, planet Earth as a modern citizen, and he gets warped back to the 1960s.
I think I could, you know, the MCU's starting to sort of expand their repertoire in terms of genres and sort of how outlandish they go with stuff. So, you know, time travel to the 60s. They've done time travel before, but they haven't gone that far. Oh, actually, no, they haven't gone that.
They should definitely do a bit of that. Don't you think?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I think so. I know that Peyton Reed, who's the director of Ant-Man films, a long time ago was desperate to do a Fantastic Four film set in the 60s because they're sort of the first family of Marvel. So sort of introducing them now feels a bit weird. Mm. They should have been the sort of people who've always been around.
I went to see Doctor Strange. Have you seen Doctor Strange?
I've seen Doctor Strange.
That could be our post-pod chat.
Yeah, great point. Let's do that.
So if you're listening, there'll be a spoiler chat about Doctor Strange at the end of this podcast, which I'm very much looking forward to. Hey, John. How about this idea from Josh? The A-Conjuring. Let's sing it, A-Con. Yeah.
Music.
A-Con. Yeah. Favourite A-Con song? And why is it Lonely?
Yeah, it is Lonely. Obviously, it's Lonely.
Of course it's Lonely. We all remember Lonely so fondly. Why, rappers should start pitching their voice up like that. Like, we should start bringing that back, the weird pitched up sample.
Well, that's like, what do they call it? Chipmunk Soul. It was like Kanye's early stuff was a lot of that, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, it's very true. Very true.
And The Conjuring is 1970s. Oh, hello. Thor could be there. paranormal investigators and demonologists. I prefer if I was going to go for one of those job titles, I'd go for demonologist.
I'd be a demonologist. Joel Grove, demonologist.
Put that would look
great on a business card, wouldn't it? On LinkedIn, yeah. What would you endorse me for?
Seeing demons, I guess. So I think this is, as far as I remember, I think this is the one that's sort of vaguely based on actual with heavy, you know, quote marks, actual mm-hmm. sort of investigators in the 70s. Is Akon sufficiently scary? Is he the ghost?
Is Akon the ghost?
Or is he the investigator?
He's the investigator, right? I don't know if I'm wrong. Isn't Akon like a force for good in the world now?
Yeah, well...
Are you Googling the words, is Akon a force for good?
No,
given loads of his money to projects in Africa and stuff?
I'm fairly confident. I need to check exactly what... Here's a headline from 2015 from The Independent. So, fingers crossed, it's not complete nonsense. Akon is bringing electricity to 600 million people in Africa.
Fucking hell.
So, yeah. I thought, yeah, when you started saying that sentence, that rung a bell in my head as well, is that he's...
If you've ever streamed the song Lonely, in a small way, you've helped contribute to the electricity for 600 million people.
You're legend. Everyone...
Just keep streaming Akon. Everyone, stream Akon. Get him in your Spotify Wrapped.
I don't think, in the old days, like I think Spotify sort of worked this one out, but I know that for a lot of bands, for a short period of time, would be like, play our album on mute overnight and we'll get royalties. But I believe Spotify have nipped that in the bud. So if you mute, it doesn't count as a play anymore.
Damn. Plug some headphones in.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. My knowledge of Akon is that here's my full Akon knowledge.
Brilliant. I can't wait. Strap in. This is going to be 45 minutes. John's about to deliver he's been waiting for this moment.
Pop musician from the early noughties. Signed Lady Gaga, I believe.
Wow.
I think he's
You just said you had limited knowledge about Akon.
I'm sure there's something like that. Let me look. Akon, Lady Gaga. Well, all right. The top thing that comes up is, in a SiriusXM interview with DJ Sway, Akon bluntly stated that he left Lady Gaga at the height of her success. I cashed out. I got out when the gooding was hot. It's like business, you build to sell. So yeah, there must be something about him being sort of commercially involved in the Lady Gaga project. So there's that. And then, yeah, the Africa thing. So
yeah, and he had some big hits.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you know, actually, so that song that we were just, Akon, Slim Shady, that song.
Yeah, smack that.
Smack that, thank you. Has one of the worst scanning lyrics I've ever heard, which is,
yes, please.
Wanna jump up in my Lamborghini Gallardo. Wanna jump up in my Lamborghini Gallardo. It's just so clunky. Whenever
it's
I hear
in your head.
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Worked.
I don't even maybe know what Lamborghini Gallardo is. I assume it's a car.
Yeah.
Is it a big one?
Unless Lamborghini are like, you know, like Yamaha and they make other things.
Yeah, it's a keyboard.
It's a keyboard. It's a Lamborghini hot tub.
Right. I've got three from Jake. They're all on a theme, so I'm going to run through them for you if that's okay.
Yes, please.
No Time to Die. James Bond has a deadly allergy to time and tells everyone he meets.
That is brilliant.
No time to die, brackets, but it's the French town of Die. James Bond has to make it to Die for some reason. You can fill the blanks in there.
Right, can finally, I try and guess the third one?
Yeah.
Is it to do with dice?
No.
Is he like a Dungeons and Dragons player that hasn't got
That's
his dice?
There.
Okay.
No time to dice. I like that.
Or die is the plural.
Of course. Apologies to you.
All right. Okay. 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 No time to die. He stains his suit and he has to dye it back to the color black in order to get into a casino.
Okay.
So DYE. No time to die. DYE. No, that's not it.
Yeah. No, no, no. You've got it. You've got the title. The concept is different, but right. No tie to die. James Bond has to go undercover at a Grateful Dead concert, but refuses to wear anything other than a suit, ends in a rampage, killing everyone wearing tie-dye.
Okay.
A while back...
I feel like James Bond would be the enemy of hippies.
Oh, yeah. So a while back, I think it's in the Rihanna... Oh, no, it's the Beck Hill episode. But to the listeners, would be a fresh episode. We had tie-dye hard. So similar theme, which is sort of... heroic spy type just murdering hippies for no reason.
we've created a genre.
I like them all. I'm intrigued by...
It's the time allergy. It's the allergy to the herb thyme for me.
Yeah, exactly. But is that a good idea if you're James Bond to tell everyone what will kill you? That seems like something you'd
right,
keep
because
on lock.
The supervillain would try and get time into everything he eats.
Yeah, instead of a laser, it'd just be like a plant just slowly going up the table ready to like stroke him on the face. That'd be good.
So, yeah, okay. I wonder how many allergies you can have before they reject you as a spy at MI5.
Really like, if you have point.
As part of the questionnaire, if you've got one of those, like an airborne nut allergy, do you reckon you can't be an international man of mystery?
I don't know, but I feel bad. Like,
why don't
part
you
of
know?
Me wants to say yes, but like, I don't want to disrespect our wonderful allergy listeners. That's not what they're called.
Yeah, but you know, in the same way
listener.
That you can't fly in the RAF if you're colorblind. You know, it's not something that can be helped, but there are limitations, I guess, placed on you. What allergies? Like, if you're allergic to whatever they make the chips in casinos out of, there's literally no way you can be an international man of mystery.
No, that's or, a very good point. Martinis.
You know, so you might have to... If you're allergic to an olive, you can't order a martini without an olive. It'd be so embarrassing. You just wouldn't get taken seriously. I think it's an interesting...
As a kid, when I am dyslexic, and when I found out, people would always be like, you can't be like a doctor. You can't be like a doctor because apparently you might see like 500 milligrams of blah, blah, blah and give them 5,000 milligrams or something. But I'm fairly confident...
You'll just write something completely different on a prescription.
Yeah. I'm fairly confident that's bullshit.
Yeah, of course that's bullshit.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, have you held on to that? Is that the reason you're not a doctor, John?
Yeah, otherwise, I was primed and ready for my doctorhood.
Just stood there in your big lab coat as a little kid, and then someone said, sorry, John, but you might spell hemoglobin incorrectly, and give him a little hemogoblin that runs around, scaring everyone.
He-man goblin, terrifying.
No, I think if you're dyslexic, you can be a doctor. I think if you're allergic to nuts, you can't be an international man of mystery, especially if it's airborne. And you have to get... Because you're flying all over the world, right? And everyone's getting a free packet of peanuts on a flight. A 00 agent can't go into anaphylactic shock on a BA flight to, you know, the Lebanon.
Well, the good news is I don't think he's often going on a BA flight to the Lebanon.
You think it's all private? You think it's all private jets?
I think... I know someone who isn't that allergic to nuts, but sort of as a power play will do the stop everyone on the plane having the nuts.
Really?
Yeah, imagine the power you've got there going, no, no, no.
But
no,
wouldn't you be the most hated
anyway.
Person on the plane?
Is that you just get on flights for the free packet of nuts?
Air travel is so it's obviously very privileged to say it's such a pain in the ass and quite often prohibitively expensive. I want to milk it for every single freebie I can get, and if I'm denied my sort of 10 peanuts in a little packet, I'll be really sad about that. Unless they source an alternative snack.
Are you doing the tomato juice on a plane? Are you going for that or not?
Oh, what is it? Like a little Bloody Mary?
Well, I just know that people say because of the altitude, your taste buds are messed up and it makes tomato juice delicious. That's why lots of people
have it. Yeah, I've never had tomato. The next flight I get, John, I'm going to have a Bloody Mary and I'm going to let you know how it goes.
Exciting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Should we have another one from you? Because I've got what I can only imagine is a lot. I haven't read it yet, but I can only imagine it's going to be a long one.
Hey, let's have another one from me. There's an idea I just had. It's from Martin, Broke Back to the Future.
He tweeted this and said one for Joel, specifically for you as a
because I love Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Now, my immediate thought here is Doc and Marty.
Yeah.
But there's a real age gap there.
Yeah,
there's a problematic age gap, and I think he's a teenager at school.
He's a high school, right? So yeah, I'd say that's definitely...
So less problematic than that, far less problematic than that. He goes back in time, and he starts a relationship with his own father. Because they're the same age!
I thought he was going to biff Biff.
He could biff Biff. Oh, And then Biff... Maybe. Maybe Biff has a lot of repressed stuff going on, and that's why he lashes out at the world.
Oh yeah, that's... I mean... Well, the good thing is we can definitely tell a very nuanced story about sexuality whilst also including time travel.
And hoverboards. Yeah. I think we can.
That'll be the next phase of Marvel. That'll be the next phase of Marvel. They'll be like, you know, it's a very nuanced portrayal of sort of people coming to terms with their sexuality. But there's also hoverboards.
And hoverboard. I'm in. I'm fully on board with that. Biff's the right answer. And then it's, the traumatic end, John, is that they realise they can't be together, because if they get together, the future's fucked.
Yeah.
That's a sad end.
And
if they get together, it means that Biff won't bully some guy who then goes on to, I don't know, find a cure for a disease that's wiping out the planet. So they speed forward 30 years, and because they're in a happy, devoted couple, everything's gone to shit, and they pin it back to the point where they got together, and so they have to go back and make a pact to never be together. Oh, that's quite sad.
I'm heartbroken, Joel, actually, about this.
I think it's quite a good idea.
Yeah. Let
us write Back to the Future 4, you cowards. Zemeckis, you coward. Give us the money.
Right. Should I do this? I'm sort of scared. So
yeah, I think so. We've acquired quite a few new listeners recently, so you might have to give a bit of background, a bit of an explanation as to what we're about to hear.
Very good point. Right. Back in the day, I would say quarterly, we would get an email from a man. It's called Tom, but his email address says Conway Muscles. And so as in the seafood. So naturally, we started to call him Muscles Tom. Now, the interesting thing about Tom is he generally, not always, but he generally does incredibly long film ideas, and they're based on furniture.
And we should say Muscles Conway, he works on a muscles farm.
Yes.
His job is providing muscles to the masses.
And we always threaten that we will show up at his muscles farm one day and record an episode.
We're going to do a live show. We're going to do a live show down at Conway Muscles.
So I didn't want to spoil this. And this is the first time I've read this. So apologies for any errors. Hi, guys. Yes, me. You fucking hell. Apologies for any errors. Yes, me. Yes, me. It's me. I'm back. And just in time, by the sound of things, as Hollywood slides down into a spiral of poor and boring movies, a saviour comes to save us all. I don't usually like to compare myself to that of the great man himself. Jesus, that is. But with the quality of script I've written over the last few years, I think we would all agree it's quite appropriate. So what do you have to look forward to?
Jesus, absolutely famous for his screenplays.
He was a creative. So what do you have to look forward to? All sorts. We've got action, we've got horror, we've got more action. The scripts are already complete and sent to Hollywood. Right now, they are probably in the hands of top-notch Hollywood executives fighting over which one they're going to make first. So while we leave them to fight it out, why not journey through some of the most amazing and action-packed stories of all time? I call our first little trailblazer, The Tables Have Turned. And then he says,
come on.
Coming soon. The Shark That Won't Go Away. I want that one. Tom, I want The Shark That Won't Go Away. I'm really sorry. I'm sure The Tables Have Turned is great, but I want The Shark That Won't Go Away. Titanic 3.
Good.
Three
Ignore
ghosts.
Two.
Three ghosts in a house. Titanic 4. Must Go Faster. The Witch Next Door. P.S. I realise these stories are overly long and not so appropriate for the format of your show, so please feel free to use or not use them as you see fit. I will fucking use... Tom, yeah, mate.
We're an hour before every single show, I messaged John and said, John, I've got nothing. So, Tom, you keep them coming, mate. I do worry about how much time you're spending at your desk at Conwy Muscles and not out there getting muscles. And I wonder how your employers would feel about the fact that you are using your work email address to send this stuff in, but I'm fully behind it.
Right. Oh, God, I can't open the flipping attachment. This is going wrong.
That's how big the attachment is. You're actually starting to lag on this Zoom call, John, because your internet can't handle the download. Lonely, I miss the lonely.
The audacity of Tom to think that we would for 1 second not just read anything he sends us.
Yeah, I know.
Right, here
we've got a history, Tom. We've read every single word you've ever sent us.
Fuck me.
Is it enormous?
I don't know what to do. It's 9 pages long. I'm not sure I can read 9 pages.
Right. Is it not? So when you say it's 9 pages, is it, what yeah. is it? What is it? What form does that take? A script?
Yeah.
Or nine? It's like a script.
It's like a story.
Of what is it? One story?
Yeah. Act one. There's three acts. Strap in, listeners, I guess.
Well, should we serialize it?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Today, we will be reading Act 1 of The Tables Have Turned.
We've still got our own ideas to do here, John.
Yeah. The film starts,
here we go.
The film starts aboard a luxurious plane full of millionaires and ruthless businessmen. Two of the men are drinking whiskey and boasting about how many people they have killed this week. Next, we see the kitchen aboard this plane. There is a chef slaving away over a hot, posh meal. As he stirs the soup, the camera pans into his eyes to reveal a rugged, dangerous-looking man. He looks like he's lived a life of adventure, the scars from a lifetime of torture and pain. This is our hero. Hey, you cheeky girl, get me another whiskey, will ya? Shouts one of the ruthless businessmen. That's probably not a ruthless businessman voice, is it? And where's my
that
bleeding
That was the voice
meal?
You do.
It's on its way, sir, the young attractive maid replies as she hurries over to the bar to pour a large whiskey on the rocks. Next, the camera is fixed on the feet of the chef as he walks down the aisle of the plane. As the camera pans up, he's given direct stage directions, everything.
This
as
is
the camera
unbelievable
pans
stuff.
Up, we see he's holding a delicious hot bowl of soup served on a beautiful silver tray. He stops next to the rude businessman. Here's your meal, sir. It's about bleeding time, the man snaps and takes the soup. What the heck is this? This is horrible. Get me some salt. Our hero replies with a smirk. You know, too much salt can kill you, sir. And so can this. The chef pulls off his white hat to reveal a massive gun. He points it at the businessman and shoots him in the head. The bad guy falls face flat into the soup with a satisfying splat. Panic erupts on the plane. Next minute, all businessmen are pulling out their guns and start firing at the chef. Our hero grabs the stewardess and uses her as a human shield. Fucking
hell.
Oh,
my God.
What kind of hero is this?
Also, are there just holes being shot in the side of the plane?
Good point. Bullets fly into her as though she was butter. Our hero fires
back. Oh, my God,
killing
Tom.
Two of the bad guys. But there are still three bad guys left. Thanks for the math on this. There are still three bad guys left, and our hero only has one bullet remaining. One of the bad guys shouts, "Hey, asshole, what you gonna do now? Cook us another meal?" Ha 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 ha. The bad guy raises their gun and points it at the chef. One of them quips, "Well, I'm afraid we're not hungry." That's okay, our
That's
hero
a good
replies.
Quip.
Yeah, with a quip of his own. I'm not a real chef. He throws the stewardess's lifeless body to the floor and points his gun at one of the windows. He shoots it out as he dives across the seat and holds on for dear life. Suddenly, all three men are sucked out of the window like jelly babies. Famously, jelly babies, famous for being sucked out of windows.
Yeah, that's how.
What's going on back there? One of the pilots shouts.
Just now.
Our hero runs into the cockpit and orders the pilot to land the plane. I don't take my orders from you, replies the pilot. Bang, the chef shoots him in the head and then points his gun to the other pilot. How about you? Screw you, asshole. You can kiss my bang. He shoots him dead too. Damn, I was hoping for a smooth landing, smirks the chef. Just then, the engines explode and the plane begins to take a nosedive. As the plane is free-falling, our hero notices a speeding train down below. This is my chance, he thinks. It all happens so fast, but the chef manages to jump off the plane onto the roof of a speeding train. As he's hanging on for dear life, the descending plane crashes and explodes into the side of a mountain. I hate flying, our hero jokes. End of act one. Oh, what a...
That is amazing. I'll perform act two next week, and then you can finish with act three.
Perfect.
The fact that Tom has written that for us, it's like the most flattering thing in the world. It's so good. Did the film have a title?
It's called The Tables Have Turned.
Oh, that was The Tables Have Turned. Is he going to send us 9 pages for every one of those ideas that we just heard?
Tom, for the sake of your job, I hope not. But I am grateful
for
this
one. Tom. You're going to be sacked. You are going to get sacked, and we can't be held responsible for that.
Absolutely.
I've got a sofa you can stay on for a little while until Hollywood finally pick you up. What a rags to riches story, though, if you get fired from a mussel farm in Wales and then you become the biggest writer in Hollywood.
Fingers
what an
crossed. Arc. Right, should we say our two crappy ideas and then... Oh, no, you said to me earlier you're quite happy with yours.
Don't say it now, after you just heard that. Before the recording, I said to John, I think my idea is quite good this week. And then you read me out the epic from Tom.
The Lord of the Rings.
Guys, my idea is shit. Here's one from me. Old member. After being captured and experimented on, Austin Powers begins aging rapidly. Can he save the planet from Dr. Evil's ray that accelerates the aging process for everyone on Earth before he himself dies?
Very nice.
Captures Austin Powers. He's like, I've got this new weapon. I'm going to experiment on you first. And he fires him with this ray gun, and Austin Powers starts to age quickly.
But what is Austin's...
And then he finds out that he's going to aim it at the entire planet.
But what is Austin's most sort of famous... weapon? It's his member.
It's his mojo.
So
yeah,
why doesn't the laser just make his penis really old?
But then, if you extrapolate that out, what's the threat to the world that everyone's just gonna have really old genitals?
He can't be a shagadelic dude anymore.
No, he can't be a shagadelic dude. But that doesn't really put the planet at peril.
You can't have kids if everyone's genitals are incredibly old.
Okay, so. Dr. Evil thinks there's a population crisis on planet Earth, and so he's going to increase the age of everyone's genitalia by 100 years.
The one thing that this is good that is good about this is in Hollywood at the minute, one of the like sort of least inventive tropes is that the villains are environmental people. For some reason, there's a real sort of environmental stint in villains. Like Thanos is technically an environmentalist. I think the guy in No Time to Die is sort of an environmental vibe.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this in that respect, Dr. Evil's, you know, worrying about a population.
He's on trend.
Very on trend.
He's bang
right
on
now.
Trend. Okay, so that makes sense. So he's aging everyone's genitals really quickly.
Yeah.
But Austin Powers has already been hit with it, and he has to grapple with the fact that he's
lost his
now
mojo.
Impotent.
Yeah.
He's lost his mojo.
He's no longer shagadelic.
He's completely unshagadelic, and it's actually a comment on the fact that, you know, the elderly have a place in society.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Think about that, John.
I am thinking about that. My idea, and I'm sure we've had it before, frankly, fight at the museum.
Yeah. Have we had that?
I don't know, but I like it. I just think...
Everything at the museum has a big fight.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I'm not into like boxing or sort of MMA or any pay-per-view, but if it was like Tutankhamun versus Attila the Hun...
Yes.
Then I'm in. Do you know what I mean?
Then you're in. Maybe that's the end point of these YouTube boxing matches.
they bring people back from the dead.
They reanimate. Yeah, I think that's where we're going to get to, right? Our craving to watch famous people hit each other won't be satisfied until, you know, Charles II is having a fight with Oliver Cromwell.
Because at that point, every celebrity will have fought each other. So we're going to have to start going back into the human archives.
I reckon within the next 5 years, every celebrity on Earth will have fought each other.
I can't wait for it.
That's my big prediction. What's the combo that would sell out like Wembley Arena? No, Wembley Stadium. Okay. What's the celebrity combo? If they announced such and such is going to fight this person.
Well, is it just pure fame or are we thinking like, is it going to make a good fight? Because I think like...
Pure fame.
Caesar versus...
No, not... No. Caesar? You think Caesar's selling an 80,000 arena?
Who are you thinking? What's on your... What's on? I think Tutankhamun is a good shout for one of them, surely.
Trump and Biden.
But they're alive.
And they... No holds barred. It's no holds barred fight. UFC, Octagon, Wembley Stadium, Trump versus Biden. Both stripped to the waist.
I think it'd be quite a sad fight in reality, wouldn't it, though?
Yeah, it'd be a horrible thing to witness. But I'd watch it. I'd buy a ticket. I'd be ringside.
Right, well, we can't let Tom win every week that we read his film.
But he's won this week.
This week he wins. Going forward, we will read another act of his film, but he is by default not allowed to win because he's already won this week.
What I really like, John, is how, so just off mic just then, you really generously offered to score that section with Tom to really sort of elevate it. You said, what I'll do with this Tom submission is it'll be almost like a standalone part within the podcast. And you said, score it, add some SFX. You know, I thought that was great.
The weird thing is, either I'm going to do that, which I'm not, and they would have already heard that, or this
You're going to cut this bit out.
Well, I could cut this bit out.
I'm curious to see which bit stays.
I was thinking, what is the laziest way of doing that? And I was thinking, maybe I just underneath it, just sort of hum.
That would be fantastic.
Maybe I do
that. That's how like Hans Zimmer does it at first. So he gets sent the film, and he does an immediate reaction hum to it, and then he'll go and get it scored by an orchestra. But there are very rare copies you can get of the films that are scored exclusively by him humming.
Dune, the a cappella take. Oh my god. I pay good money for that. Right. Let's call it a day.
Thanks, everyone. We're going to call it a day. It's a bumper one for the return. But after this, there'll be a little bit of music. And then John and Joel. Joel and John? I can't remember how we're billed. These two guys are going to talk about Doctor Strange. Hey John, I thought you did really well this week.
Thank you. My partner asked me the other day, she said, what do you guys do during that music break? And I said, normally we just go, you know, after the music, hey John, but this week you actually did sing the thing.
Yeah.
So just
well, I hummed it a little bit as a fun immediate callback to Hans Zimmer humming the thing. It's quite sweet, the idea that we just sit there for the music, for the length of time the music break is, so that the edit's really easy for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Right.
Doctor Strange, you went to see it. What did you think about it? Immediate thoughts, feelings? Did you have a nice time?
I had a nice time. It's the first time me and my partner have gone to the cinema together since the bub that has been born. I've been by myself, but we've not been together, so that was nice. And the film... is one of those things where I think the whole time I was in there, I was going, I'm having a nice time. But I think as soon as I left, I went, I'm not sure that made any sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I had a nice time. I don't know. Sam Raimi is a very specific, that's not what I'm looking for. He's got a very sort of clear tone and stuff in his movie making. Yeah. So I found it quite jarring. There's a lot of looking at the camera. There's a lot of really weird shots. There's... some strange vibes going on, not just like the spooky horror stuff in the film, but just sort of the way the film is made. There's a lot of like breaking the fourth wall and stuff, and I don't love that personally, but I know that's sort of what you get when you get Sam Raimi.
Yeah. Are we going to spoil it?
Yeah, I think so.
It was... So first of all, I enjoyed it. I think when I was in there, I was having a really good time. And it's 2 hours, which is on the shorter end for a Marvel film, which is good. And I... would have liked it to have been more mad.
Yeah.
You know, there's that montage where they travel through a load of alternate universes and you get very brief glimpses of like an animated one where they're all made of paint, and then they arrive in one that is just New York but with more flowers.
Looked nice.
And I sort of thought, it looked great, but I sort of thought, why didn't they spend time in like some fucking weird universes?
Yeah.
It's called the Multiverse of Madness, and they just are in three versions of New York.
The craziest thing about this version of New York is they go on red.
Yeah, yeah. Their pizza comes in a ball shape. You know, there's literally infinite possibilities. Why do they have to have pizza? It's so stupid. Like, I wish I just, like I say, I really liked it, but I do wish there was like actual madness.
Yeah, well,
like,
I mean, that's
really like fucking out there weird shit is what I wanted to see.
Yeah, I've seen some takes being like, for a film called Multiverse of Madness, there's not a lot of multiverses and there's definitely not much madness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How did you feel about the first Illuminati. Avenger? They must be called the Illuminati in the comic books, right? Because they would never, ever call them that.
Yeah, so there's like, there is an Illuminati in the comics. It's not the exact same lineup, but it does have like Professor X and Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four as a part of it. And they sort of
found it very, very hard to take John Krasinski seriously when he was doing some big exposition, because he just is Jim from The Office. And that's like, is that a bit of fan service? Because I feel like people for a long time have said he would be a brilliant Reed Richards.
It must be. It's fan service. And
so
I
they
can't
sort of
tell
gave
whether...
us him for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think...
But then I came out thinking, but he will also exist in our universe.
Not necessarily, I think.
But that guy will, right?
What, Reed Richards?
He doesn't necessarily have to be Reed Richards. Yeah, but if there's... No, I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. I think there's definitely an element of like, you know how everyone on the internet wants you to be Reed Richards. Will you come into this film, do 3 days with us, and then nips that in the bud. But now everyone's like, well, he's going to direct the next Fantastic Four movie and be Reed Richards. So I don't know if it's exactly done that.
I'm into the America character. I hope there's more universe traveling.
For sure. One thing I will say about John Krasinski is... Mm-hmm. He is a buff man because everyone in Hollywood is buff, but he wasn't, because he'd just come in to do this. He wasn't like Marvel buff, and as a result, I thought he looked a bit scrawny.
But he's a stretchy guy, so he wouldn't be buff, would he?
Yeah, I guess, maybe.
He's a big stretchy rubber guy, so I don't think...
Yeah, I just thought compared to the others, I was like, he just looks normal, which is odd, because everyone in Marvel films is so unbelievably weirdly...
It's so funny. Like, even Benedict Cumberbatch is in, like, really good shape.
Yeah.
There's a bit where he's topless, where he's in bed, I think. You think there's no need for, this Sorcerer Supreme guy to have, like, fucking ridiculous pecs. When is he working out?
Same thing with Loki in his series. There's a bit where his top comes off, and you're like, yeah. Both of those characters... If anyone had an excuse to be scrawny, it's like Loki and Doctor Strange are sort of their aesthetic. Like, if it's Captain America or Thor, I get it. You need to look big. But those guys...
We need more scrawny guy representation in the Marvel films. It's gone too far.
Absolutely. And big man representation. Big man.
Yeah, and big man representation.
Big man.
Big man.
But liked it. I'm excited to see... What's the next big one? Thor. I'm very excited for Thor. Wait, I'm super excited for Thor.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm intrigued to see what happens there. Have you seen the trailer? The trailer seems to only really give like the first 20 minutes away. I'm fairly confident the Guardians of the Galaxy leave him about 15 minutes into the film. I don't think they're going to be there for very long.
Yeah, because they've got their own film to worry about at some point this year or something. Yeah, yeah, it's all good, John. I'm very excited. I thought I was out, and they pulled me back in.
Yeah, that's the
what
thing.
I
think. Have you been watching the what's it called, Moon Knight?
No.
Yeah, I worry. I think there's like a saturation point, and I think there's going to be like the nerds like me who just watch everything still, and then I think the more casuals will just sort of watch the films, or like if someone says, "Oh, that series is really fucking good," then they might check it out. But
I think there's too much bleed now, isn't it? I don't think you could watch Doctor Strange without having seen WandaVision.
No, that one is like required text for that film,
which concerned me because I did watch and enjoy WandaVision, but I haven't really watched any of the other series. I gave up on. Did I watch all of Loki? I'm not sure. I gave up on Captain America. I gave up on Hawkeye, but is there going to be, does this mean that future films are going to be less enjoyable for me because I don't watch every single thing that comes out?
I don't know. WandaVision is the one that's felt the most sort of compulsory. The rest, I think, anything that happened, like for instance, not this to sort of give away the ending of the Captain America and the Winter Soldier, is like the end of Avengers Endgame, Steve Hand's in the shield. So as far as anyone watching the film is concerned, he is Captain America. And then the TV series is him struggling with the idea of being Captain America. And at the end, he comes to term with being Captain America. So if you didn't watch that, you'd sort of just cut out that middle bit and just be like, yeah, he's Captain America. I saw him get given the shield.
Okay, cool. Good to know. There you go. Right. Well done, everyone. We've been here for ages and we're going away now. Well done, John.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.